What, Betty Lou?
Don't you know we're having a party with Frank Roach and everything? Yum, yum.
The makers of delicious Quaker Oats present for your enjoyment the Quaker Party, starring Tommy Riggs and his famous little creation, Betty Lou. The new band sensation of the year, Larry Clinton and his orchestra, that lovely singer of song, B. Wayne, and the first of our famous guest stars, Hollywood's original glamour girl, Miss Zazu Pitts. When Tommy Riggs was playing football and entertaining at the College Smokers, he discovered that he had two voices. One his own, and the other the voice of a cute little bundle of mischief whom he called Betty Lou Barry. Well, last year, Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou achieved remarkable success in radio when they appeared for 48 consecutive weeks on the Rudy Valley Hour. This little character, Betty Lou, who exists only in the voice and imagination of Tommy Riggs, has won for herself a permanent place in the hearts of thousands. Your acclaim has rightfully entitled them to a radio show of their own. So tonight, Quaker Oats takes pleasure in bringing you Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou.
Thank you, folks, and thank you, Dan Seymour. I just want to say that for Betty Lou and me, this is probably the proudest moment we've ever known, the opening of a new big show of our own. I just hope it'll give you as much happiness as it's giving us.
Gee whiz, me too, Mr. Tommy.
I too.
Yes, I know, and me too. But Mr. Tommy...
Yes, Betty Lou.
Who was that man that was just talking about us?
That's Dan Seymour, our new announcer. You see, this is a new program, honey. We have a new sponsor, Quaker Oats, who puts on this show and pays all the bills.
Well, my daddy pays all the bills, too, but he isn't Quaker Oats. Where's Mr. Valley?
Well, we used to be on Mr. Valley's show, honey, but this is a new show. And now we have our own band leader, Mr. Larry Clinton, who has one of the finest orchestras in the country.
Well, is he as pretty as Mr. Valley?
Well, I'll let you decide that for yourself. Oh, Larry.
Yes, Tommy.
Say, I want you to meet a brand new fan, Miss Betty Lou Barry.
Where is she?
Here I am, Mr. Clinton.
Maybe I'm wrong. Well, anyway, how do you do, Betty Lou?
Oh, I do fine, thank you. Do you do all right?
No, Betty Lou, you'll embarrass him.
Oh, then he doesn't do so good, huh? Well, I know why, too. What's that funny thing you play, Mr. Clinton?
This? Why, that's a baton.
Well, do you know what?
No, what?
You should have to play it louder, because nobody can hear you.
He doesn't play it, Betty Lou. He just waves it at the boys in the band.
But they don't know him, huh?
Well, what makes you think they don't know him?
Because I watched him, and not one of them waved back, so there, too.
Well, now, wait a minute. Maybe I can explain this, Betty Lou. I use this little stick to keep time with.
Is that all you've got to keep time with?
Yes.
Well, gee whiz, he isn't doing so good, Mr. Tommy. He hasn't even got a watch.
Tommy, maybe we'd better show Betty Lou just how we keep time with this little stick. Will you fill in with the lyrics?
What's the lyrics, Mr. Tommy? And where do you fill in?
Well, Larry, I'm stuck. The stick. I'm no millionaire, but I'm not the type to care, 'cause I've got a pocket full of dreams. It's my universe, even with an empty purse, 'cause I've got a pocket full of dreams. Wouldn't take the wealth on Wall Street or a road where nature trods, and I calculate I'm worth my weight in golden rods. Lucky, lucky me, I can live in luxury, 'cause I've got a pocket full of dreams. Wouldn't take the wealth on Wall Street or a road where nature trots, and I calculate I'm worth my weight in golden rods. Oh, lucky, lucky me, I can live in luxury. I've got... 'cause I've got a pocket full of dreams.
Oh, Mr. Tommy, Mr. Tommy.
Yes, Aunt Jemima.
I got them flowers from Miss B. Wayne that you asked me to get for.
Flowers for Miss B. Wayne. Oh, the pretty lady that sings.
Oh, I didn't know you were here, Betty Lou. This is a secret between Mr. Tommy and me. We's cooking up something.
Oh, goody, Aunt Jemima, pancakes, huh?
Not this time, honey. This is a different kind of cooking. This recipe calls for 3 dozen red roses smothered down in chocolate bonbons.
Gee whiz, are you in love with her, Mr. Tommy?
Betty Lou, please, I hardly know her. I merely admire her, that's all. She doesn't even know that.
Well, then maybe we should have to tell her, huh?
Well, I'm afraid to tell her.
Well, I'll bet Mr. Seymour won't be afraid to tell her. Oh, Mr. Seymour.
Oh, no, Betty Lou, this is a secret.
You want me, Betty?
Yes, Mr. Tommy's in love with B. Wayne, and it's a secret, and 3 dozen roses and 2 dozen boom-booms, and he doesn't know what to do about it, and it's a secret.
Well, maybe we better get Larry Clinton and go into a huddle.
Now, wait a minute, Danny, I hardly know the girl.
Oh, trust me, Tommy, I won't tell a soul. Oh, Larry.
Yes, Dan?
Get this. Tommy's madly in love, and it's a secret.
You mean it was a secret?
Well, Tommy, I think a fellow getting married...
Married? Funny. Listen, I just had an idea I might take her out tonight after the show.
Well, now, why don't you? Oh, B?
Yes, boy.
Well, here she is. Go ahead, ask her.
Well, B, are you doing anything tonight?
Why, no, Tommy.
Well, then, would you, would you like to sing for us now?
I'd love to.
Oh, gee, Mr. Tommy, your face is awful red, but you didn't ask her.
Well, I knew all the time I couldn't, Betty Lou, so I scribbled this little note. Now, when she finishes her song, I want you to give it to her.
All right.
But remember, don't tell anybody. This is a secret.
All right, Mr. Tommy. Oh, Mr. Danny. Oh, Mr. Larry. I've got another secret.
Oh, love. In my reverie, I can see that this love was meant to be. Only a poor fool, never schooled in the whirlpool of romance, could be so cruel as you are to me. My dreams are as worthless as tin to me. Without you, life will never begin to be. So love me as I love you in my reverie. Make my dream a reality. Let's dispense with formality. Come to me in my reverie.
Ah, that was lovely, B. Really perfection. And now...
Oh, Mr. Tommy, Mr. Tommy.
Yes, Betty Lou. What in the world are you limping for?
Because there's something wrong with my foot. That's what I'm limping for.
Something wrong with your foot?
Yes, because when I got up, I couldn't feel it. And now it's all prickly and it hurts like everything, too.
Well, there's nothing wrong with your foot, honey. It's just asleep.
Then gee whiz, it must be having an awful bad dream.
You can't dream with your foot, Betty Lou. You dream with your brain. You can't walk with your foot and feel with your foot.
And see with your foot.
See with it? Now, what can you see with your foot?
You can see if your shoes are too tight, so there, too.
But by the way, did you deliver my note to Miss Wayne?
Huh?
I say, did you give that note to Miss Wayne?
To Miss Wayne?
Yes, to B. To B.
Well, my daddy said Mr. Shakespeare wrote that.
Wrote what?
To be or not to be in everything. He said Mr. Shakespeare was...
Never mind Shakespeare. What'd she say when you gave it to her?
When I gave what to her?
The note I wrote.
Oh. Well, she said...
Yes?
She said,
Well, what's the matter?
Oh, I know. She said she liked it a whole bunch, except she wished it was vanilla.
Miss Wayne said that.
Yeah, no. My little playmate Janie said that when I bought her an ice cream cone when she was crying because her cat was sick.
But what's this got to do with Miss Wayne?
Well, I bet she likes ice cream cones and bum-bums and everything nice, and she gets a new fur coat every year, too, she does.
Miss Wayne does?
No, little Janie's cat does, don't you?
Don't I what?
Don't you think cats are awful lucky to get nice new fur coats without even having to pay for them, too?
Well, I guess they appreciate it. They certainly take good care of the coats.
Janie's cat doesn't.
She doesn't take care of her coat?
No, because I tried all summer and I couldn't make her swallow even one mothball.
All righty, well, let's get back to that note and to Miss Wayne.
Did you know she had five kittens?
She had five kittens?
Well, I mean little Janie's cat did. Five little kittens all at once.
Quintuplets?
Yeah, no, Maltese.
But, young lady, about that note.
And she had a dog that had puppies and a goose that had geese's and...
Now, wait a minute. It strikes me that you keep trying to change the subject. Did you deliver the note or didn't you?
Huh?
Now, listen, young lady, I'll give you just 5 minutes to figure out what you did with that note. And when I come back, I want the truth and nothing but the truth.
The truth and nothing but the truth. Oh, boy. A casket, a casket. I hope he doesn't ask it. That note I took from Mr. Tommy. On the way I dropped it. I dropped it. I dropped it. Yes, on the way I dropped it. I know somebody picked it up because I couldn't find it. I was trucking on down like you and you without a single thing to do. I was pecking all around. I must have dropped it on the ground. Oh, a casket, a casket. Just hide me in a basket. When Mr. Tommy finds it out, I think that I shall die.
Was it red?
No, 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 no.
Was it brown?
No, no.
Was it blue?
No, no. Just a little yellow basket.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we decided to have this party tonight, Betty and I both agreed that the one person who'd add a joyous note to the goings-on is that happy, laughing, glamour girl from Hollywood, the lady who washed her hands and now she can't do a thing with them, Miss Zazu Pitch.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, welcome to the Quaker party, Miss Pitt.
Oh, goodness. I didn't know this was a party. I'd have worn my other dress.
Well, I wonder if you'd tell us something about Hollywood.
Well, it's in California.
I see.
They make pictures there.
Well, no, what I meant was, from your point of view, what's the most interesting thing in Hollywood?
The man. But I haven't been there for several weeks, so maybe it's all changed now.
Well, just where have you been?
I've been making personal appearances. Last week, I was in Columbus, Ohio.
Well, was there anything in Columbus that you liked particularly?
The man.
Isn't there anything more interesting than men?
If you find something, I wish you'd let me know.
Well, just what kind of an act do you do on your personal appearance tour?
Well, I talk.
That's interesting. What did you talk about?
Well, I usually say, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Or if it was the afternoon, I'd say, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And then I'd go on from there.
And what would you do?
Well, I'd be careful to explain that any similarity between me and persons, living or dead, was purely accidental.
Well, didn't you do anything else?
Oh, yes, I did imitations.
Really? And who'd you imitate?
A Zazu Pitt.
But you are a Zazu Pitt.
I know. That made it more authentic.
Well, that's fine. Have you prepared anything special to do for us tonight?
Oh, yes. I have a play about Alaska. It's called Scrawny of the North. I play the title role.
Sounds very entertaining.
You can play the hero, Mr. Wiggs, or Biggs.
The name is Jiggs. I mean Riggs.
Well, let's rehearse the love scene now, shall we?
But where's my part?
Oh, I think it'll be more fun just to make it up as we go along. Now, put your arms around me.
Miss Pitts, we're wasting time here.
I'm not.
Pardon, folks. Pardon me, but is something burning out here?
No, Mr. Seymour. Just a false alarm. But now that you're here, we can use you in my play. Here, take this part.
Well, thanks. Say, this is just a blank sheet of paper.
That's right, Mr. Seymour. You don't talk at all. You just melt.
Melt?
Yes, you're an iceberg.
Oh, Miss Pitts, I'm Betty Lou. Can I be in the play? Can I be an iceberg, too?
Well, you're rather small for an iceberg, Betty Lou.
Well, maybe I can be an ice cube, huh?
Yes, no. Oh, dear me. You're getting me all confused.
Pardon me. My name is Larry Clinton. I think you're a Peach Pitts. Have you got a part in this play for me?
My, so many cute men around here. You can play the lookout, Mr. Clinton. You have one line to say. Icebergs ahoy. Will you try it, please?
Icebergs ahoy.
Oh, louder, Mr. Clinton.
Icebergs ahoy.
Well, I suppose that's your mediocre best. Now, Aunt Jemima.
Yes, Miss Pitts.
Aunt Jemima, you will play Mr. Clinton's echo. You know what an echo is?
Oh, yes, and that's double talk.
No! No. If Mr. Clinton says good morning, you say good morning. Now, read your line, Mr. Clinton.
Good morning.
No, no, the line in the play.
Oh, icebergs ahoy.
Good morning.
Oh. Oh, dear, we're all mixed up. You just echo whatever he says, Aunt Jemima.
Oh, yes, and I see.
Will you both try it now, please?
Icebergs ahoy.
Icebergs ahoy!
Dear me, the echo is louder than the regular voice. Well, I suppose that's the way it's going to be. Come on, let's put this script on ice, Mr. Clinton. Some overture music, if you please.
Scrawny of the North. Saga of the mighty struggle of men against the sea. The struggle of men against the frozen Arctic. The struggle of men against Zazu Pitts. What a struggle. As our play opens, we find little Zazu talking to her mother, Zazu Zay. I might add that Miss Pitts plays both these parts, a difficult task for any actress. But on with the play.
Hello? Is anyone home? Who's there? Little Zazu. Come in, child.
Gee, she does that good. You can't tell one voice from the other.
Quiet, Betty Lou.
Little Zazu. Yes, Zazu,
Zazu. Zazu, 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 Zazu.
Betty Lou.
Mother, has Yukon Tom, the man I've loved for 15 years in this frozen, desolate north without any modern improvements, come yet? No, child, but he'll be here any minute on his way through to Winnipeg, where he will sell his furs, get some money, and come back and marry you if he knows what's good for him.
Gee, we know all about it now, don't we?
Quiet, Betty Lou.
Come in.
Hello there, gal. Wish me well. I'm on my way.
Gee, you're awful funny, Mr. Tommy.
Quiet, Betty Lou. I'm acting.
That's what's funny.
Yukon, where are you going?
I'm a-mushing down to Winnipeg, gal.
I can't see why you don't do more mushing around here.
Can't stop for that now. I've got a long trip ahead of me. I'll bring you back the present. You've been a fine sweetheart. You'll make a good wife, to boot. Well, I'm off.
Icebergs ahoy.
Icebergs ahoy!
Not yet, not yet. Oh, you've spoiled the whole scene. Oh, well, even DeMille has his troubles. On with the play.
Mushing down to Winnipeg, we find our hero fighting ice and snow.
Mush, mush, mush. Mush, mush, mush.
Mr. Tommy shouldn't know how to say Quaker Oats.
Which way to Winnipeg, stranger?
You're in Winnipeg.
I thought them buildings was icebergs.
Iceberg ahoy.
Iceberg ahoy!
Not yet.
How much you give me for those furs, Pard?
Can't give you no cash money, but I'll swap you even for anything in this store.
It's a deal. Say, what's that bar?
That bar is a mirror.
Mirror, you're crazy. That bar is a picture of me. I'll take it. Bar's one fur. Bar's two furs. Bar's three furs.
Go on, go on.
That's fur enough. Well, I'm off.
You're telling me. So long, stranger.
Mushing back north, we find our hapless hero fighting the icy hand of the Northland that holds him in its grip, while little Zazu awaits in her lonely cabin.
Ma, I wonder where Yukon is. Child, Yukon never tells.
Open up there, gal.
It's Yukon Tom.
Hi-ho, Zazu. Well, gal, it's sure good to see you. For 40 days and 40 nights, I've been fighting that blizzard to reach you.
Never mind that. Where's my present?
Oh, well, here it is. Open it up careful-like.
Land sakes, what's this?
That feller in Winnipeg called it a mirror. It's really a picture of me. Take a look.
Why, you deceiver of young womanhood. You destroyer of girlish dreams. This ain't no picture of you. This is a picture of some funny-looking hussy from Winnipeg.
Thank you, Miss Pitts, for your vivid picture of the frozen north. And now here's Larry Clinton to warm up things a bit with his own interpretation of The Dance of the Hours.
Of delicious Quaker Oats take pleasure in presenting Dr. Frank L. Gunderson, editor of Nutrition, Food Authority, and Biochemist. He brings a story of vital importance to your health and happiness. Dr. Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Seymour. I'm glad to tell you briefly about what I consider one of the most valuable scientific accomplishments that has taken place in the field of food science in my lifetime. As a result of 27 years spent in research and experiments by one of the world's outstanding chemists, we now know the story of thiamine, formerly called vitamin B1. Thiamine, spelled T-H-I-A-M-I-N, thiamine has been isolated. We know exactly what it is. We now know what it will do for people. We now know that thiamine is invaluable to the human body. We know that all adults and all children require thiamine every day if they are to enjoy perfect health. This priceless element promotes health in many ways. It is absolutely necessary for normal growth in children. It acts as a food for nerves throughout the body. It aids digestion of food and helps turn that food into energy. It is a requirement for buoyant vitality. In fact, it is really a vitalizing spark which our bodies need if we are to feel our best, look our best, and think our best. The body does not store up thiamine. This means that each of us should have a new supply every day. Fortunately, nature provides in whole grain oatmeal the richest economical source of thiamine.
Well, thank you, Dr. Gunderson. The Quaker Oats Company believes the story of thiamine is so important that next week's special full-page announcements in leading metropolitan newspapers will tell you more about thiamine. Watch for this dramatic story. And remember that nature provides in oatmeal the richest economical source of thiamine. Treat yourself and your family every morning to America's favorite hot breakfast, Quaker Oats or Mother's Oats. Quaker Oats and Mother's Oats are the same. They are the same in thiamine content. And both have the famous double-rich flavor that comes from Quaker's exclusive roasting process. Make a note now to get an economical package at your friendly grocer's.
Ladies and gentlemen, next week the Quaker Party will again present Larry Clinton, his orchestra, and Dee Wayne. As our special guest of the evening, with his own news and views of the World Series, we're having Colonel Lemuel Q. Snoop Nagel. Aunt Janet and I will bring Betty Lou along, and yours truly will probably ride in the same taxi.
Good night, everybody. See you next Saturday night. And please don't forget to ask the grocery man for your Quaker Oats, too. So they are yum, yum.
Yes, now, Betty Lou.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
We hope that you've enjoyed this recording, and for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.